Let's get ready to rumble!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind.
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook me a roll with the Brooklyn Boys. But for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Who you know fresh for this hole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap great and dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jet, Slow Express. Out the country, but the blueberry still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in hell with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace them. Cheap imitation from these generations.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn Ball. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl.
What the hell are you waiting for?
Look what you made me do. Look what I made for you. Knew if I pay my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drop a couple of hits. Look how they wait for you. From Marcy to Madison Square, to the only thing that matters is just a matter of years.
Yeah.
As faith will have it, J status appears to be at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like George, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, it's to aim at you. Probably maim you. If I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens. Cops, I can take one for your team. And I need you to remember one thing.
One thing.
I came, I saw, I conquered. From record sale, sold out concert. So motherfucker, if you want this encore, I need you to scream till your lungs get sore.
Ow! It's star time. This man is mean. He's killing all y'all jazzers. Y'all want more than this man.
What's up, ladies and gents? We're back. This is another beautiful edition of Left Hook Lounge Radio. I'm your host, Vivek Wallace, soon to be joined by... I don't even know how I should introduce this guy. This guy actually is a funny story behind the gentleman I'm going to bring in tonight. He'll be joining us from BoxingScene.com, by the way. Gentleman by the name of Ryan Burton. Before I get into the Mayweather Pacquiao coverage breakdown, whatever you want to call it, I do want to tell a funny story because it's actually pretty intriguing how this whole thing tonight came to be. This gentleman, Ryan Burton, most of you know that I love the whole social media thing, go back and forth, ripping at guys ripping at me. I love the fan element of the sport. And this particular gentleman, I always like to use the term, some of you have heard me say, iron sharpens iron. And, you know, that's pretty much how we sharpen our positions in life, et cetera. Well, this is a gentleman who I didn't really know well at one point, but in the context of a regular boxing forum, I had the opportunity to talk some boxing a couple times, and I felt like it was old days back on the basketball court, jawing at one another, going at it pretty hard. You know, he had his opinion, I had my opinion, very titanic, if you will. But what I learned immediately was that this was a gentleman who's definitely passionate about his craft, his sport, and his knowledge of those two things. And ever since then, we've had the camaraderie where we can talk and bond, et cetera. Had an opportunity to check out his work and have done so ever since. So it'll be great to have him on tonight because the cool thing about this, we don't always agree on much, but he's very well studied and just like I try to be. So there's no better way to sharpen my personal position than having someone to the contrary sit across from me. So we're going to bring him in a little bit, though. Again, that's my man Ryan Burton from BoxingScene.com. I'm sure all of you guys know BoxingScene. Don't have to give an introduction there. But nonetheless, we're going to go this evening and do what we've done for the last 5-6 days, however many it's been. Last week we had trainer Henry Ramirez from out on the West Coast giving us some fundamentals a glimpse into the training element. We had K.O. King, Randall Bailey, one or two other guys in. Well, this week we're going to take a different angle. And that's why I wanted to start the week off with my man Ryan, because I want to take a look at the media row element of it by talking to some of the heavy hitters and the big names that will sit and actually give breakdowns about this fight that many of you will read between now and fight time. On the guest list this week, for those who don't know, we'll have my man Kiernan Mulvaney from HBO Sports. We'll have Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports, two guys whose work I definitely admire. Again, it's not about necessarily agreeing with everything they say, but it's just the fact that you respect anyone who takes the time to put in the work and present a product that is well-studied and well-thought-out, great preparation, et cetera. So definitely two guys I respect. We'll also have another fan favorite out there. This week we'll have Iceman John Scully in the building with us. And one other guy that I'm going to bring on who I haven't talked much about, and I kind of wanted to keep this one under my cap, but I'll just go ahead and throw it out there because he is a very intricate role. He plays a very intricate role in Mayweather's preparation for this fight. And ironically, I didn't necessarily look to bring him on throughout my coverage, but I was sitting down breaking down some fight footage over the weekend, and of the fights I watched, the one that I thought was most intriguing in many, many ways when it comes to Mayweather, southpaws, et cetera, was DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley. If you haven't seen that fight in a while, go back and look at it. Mayweather did his thing, but I tell you what, Chop Chop, he showed a lot in that fight. And if you've ever sat and talked to him, you know that this is a guy who definitely knows his boxing. Well, he's training in the Mayweather camp. I'm going to be bringing him to you. He and I will sit down, round table, fireside chat, whatever you want to call it. We'll be doing this later in the week as well. But with no further ado, I've chopped up 7-8 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and bring the gentleman online who I introduced a little earlier, who appears to be in the building with us. Let's go out to him, straight out to Vegas, Fight City. Ryan, are you with us?
Yes, sir. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, big man?
Not too much. Enjoying the sunshine.
Hey, I hear you. Yeah, here in South Florida, we got a lot more of that than I like nowadays. But, yeah, man, I was, I'm not sure how long you were in queue, but I thought I would give the audience out there, let them play that proverbial fly on the wall and just kind of give them a glimpse into how we even cross paths. I think it was it was funny, but in hindsight, yeah, exactly. It's, and I'll let you touch on that. I'm sure some things you want to throw out there, but it was just hilarious how, you know, one day we're in a fight board, one of the threads on Facebook, literally going at each other as hard as you're going to go at anybody. And it was a respect thing in the end, though, and I think that's the way that it should be. I always tell people we're in the sport to talk about men who fight, not fight. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, I think it was good that it ended that way and culminated to this right here. So I know you have some thoughts on that. What are your thoughts when you think about the way that all went?
Yeah, that was normally I'm the type of person where I don't, you know, everybody can have their own opinion. I don't really get involved with it. But sometimes you just see something and you end up starting it. Usually it ends up taking way more time, the few times I've done that, than I wanted to spend on something. But usually you kind of, you learn something from it, even though obviously not everyone's going to have the same opinion as you, or vice versa. So it just kind of, you know, depends on what everybody's looking at. But you always learn something from the other side, in my opinion, and you know, you get some insight. And if you don't learn from debates, discussions, whatever you want to call it, then that's kind of your own fault.
Exactly. I see it that way totally. And it is what it is, but we were there, we are here, and that's what's important. So let's go ahead and jump into it, though, Ryan. And as a matter of fact, I think through some of those debates we were having, this was the very context in which we were discussing. But it's no longer a fight that we think should happen or a fight that we hope should happen. It's a fight that's actually happening. So when, you know, I know you've been in the fight game for a minute now. You know, you as a journalist like myself, talking to these guys, sitting in the media room, anticipating and speculating, et cetera. Now that it's actually happening, tell us a little bit about what it means to you to see it actually evolve to this point.
Well, I mean, it's great. We've all, I mean, any boxing fan, heck, if any sports fan in general, has wanted to be, see this fight, even if they're just a casual observer. And for it to finally be announced when it seemed like for so many years it was impossible is, you know, just great. And, I mean, from my perspective, I know that week's going to be a very busy week. There's three fight cards. Mayweather's got one, Top Rank's got one, and then the, you know, the big card on the Saturday. And just the whole, I mean, the people I've talked to about setting up this fight, it's like unprecedented as far as what they have to do, you know, as far as the media, because there's going to be so many, I could probably say thousands of requests for credentials and everything else that a lot of non-mainstream media that don't ever care about boxing want to go to this event. So it's going to be a challenge just for Mayweather Promotions and Top Rank, just for who they let in the building when the fight comes.
You know, that's actually, it's funny that you bring that up, because 11 years deep now, I've been coming out there covering fights. Towards the last few years, it was really more so what I was interested in covering as opposed to others. It just kind of lost the love. But this particular fight is one where, you know, my son and I, we've talked pretty much since this fight was discussed. And ironically, I made the decision that I'm actually not going to travel, because it is just, I mean, like you say, it's going to be off the chart. And I think some of those, even the Maidana 2 fight, some of the other ones, even the Canelo fight, I think was crazy, crazy hectic. And I just figured for this one, I want to be a fan. But when you talk about that and you look at that angle, like who do they decide to let in, so forth, what are your thoughts, Ryan, on the fact that Mayweather Promotions is actually going to be the lead promoter in this? And, you know, this is one of those things where I guess their second true lead promotion card that's on this level, mega fight level, will be the biggest fight in history. What do you think about their ability to actually pull this off when you look at it from that standpoint?
A lot of what helps them is they're the lead promoter, but they're not the only promoter. Because Mayweather Promotions doesn't have the biggest infrastructure. You know, they don't have a really big stable of fighters. They've never needed one. And then now, obviously, with a fight like this, where they do, I mean, Top Rank is still heavily involved. They put on a lot of big fights, so their PR people are involved with the Mayweather PR people, and they're breaking down who they, you know, who's applied for credentials, who hasn't, who should be there, who shouldn't. So I think as far as having two teams, it's a lot better than, say, if it was just Mayweather against another fighter and he was the only promoter, because then they'd have to run the whole show themselves.
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent point, too, because similar to the HBO Showtime split where they're covering different obligations to make one operation happen, same thing when you look at the credentials. But let's go back to that for a second, because, you know, many out there know, some don't, but, you know, there was a point recently where, I mean, despite the contracts being signed and everything, there were still a few unanswered questions between HBO and Showtime. Right now, obviously, all of that stuff is in the books and looks like they're going to make it happen. But how smooth do you think this process will be going forward when we think about the fact that these are two networks who really haven't really had to work together since the whole Tyson Lewis thing, and now they do for the betterment of the sport? How smooth do you think, in your opinion, that process would be for a fight like this?
You know, I think it'll be pretty smooth. And behind the scenes, the production and all that, I think that'll be seamless. The more interesting to me is the on-the-air, the, you know, Jim Lampley working with Al Bernstein. And we've heard, I don't think they've actually officially announced 100% who's going to be on there, but they've kind of said it's probably going to be, I think it was Lampley, unless they did announce it.
Roy
Lampley
Jones.
With Bernstein.
Yeah, well, I think you're cutting out a little bit there, Ryan. The understanding that I got was that it would be, if I remember correctly, is Lampley, Bernstein, and I want to say Roy Jones. And
yeah, I
guess, yeah, exactly. And I think work in the locker room, or popping their head in and out doing it, or that kind of thing, or the boot, would be, I believe it was Max Kellerman. God, and who was the other one? It's a lot of things going around, but like you said, exactly. I don't think anything is concrete. One name that I haven't really heard in the mix that I'm hoping is, and I'm sure I'm not in a minority, but I would like to see Pauly Malignaggi end up on a microphone somewhere. I like what he does. What are your thoughts about Pauly in addition to that team that they're talking about?
Yeah, I'm a fan of his work as well on Showtime and Fox and whatnot, CBS. I think what I heard is they may have him be part of the kind of the booth, the pre-fight show that Showtime has been doing a lot before fights. I don't know if that's 100% official, though, but I've heard his name mentioned as being a possibility for that, which I think he brings a lot to the sport as an analyst.
Yeah, definitely. So shifting gears and looking at the fight itself, Ryan, and this is something I tell you, man, I know you follow the sport, obviously. Some are, you know, students more so than others. I don't know how you are with that thing, but I'm the kind of guy, I can pop in. It could be a Friday night, kids are off the bed, everyone else is off the bed, and I'm up goofing around, and we'll turn on a fight or pull up the archive of a fight and literally break down film till sunrise. I'm horrible at that, and this is literally almost every weekend. When you look at X's and O's and when you talk strategy, and this is assuming you do break down and look at the student end of the game as well, but when you look at these two styles, we know styles make fights. What are your thoughts about these two particular styles clashing and how that might play out on fight night?
I think it's actually fascinating in a lot of different ways. One way that kind of sticks out at first is people have made a big deal of the fact that Mayweather has fought a lot of bigger fighters lately, especially when he goes up to 154. And Pacquiao has, for the most part, too. You know, a lot of the fighters he fights, they balloon up, while Mayweather and Pacquiao kind of stay right around that 147 range. And in this case, Mayweather will probably be, you know, slightly bigger, not a big difference, but he'll actually be basically fighting someone his own size and vice versa. And I think that could be a little difference in the fight, being that Mayweather is still taller and still has a reach advantage. And then, you know, like everyone likes to point out, oh, Mayweather has problems with southpaws, blah, 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 but he's beat all of them. But you could say he's had the most challenge from a lot of southpaws, except for Castillo. But on the other side, you could say what's Pacquiao's biggest weakness, and it's probably a straight right hand, which is especially a counter right, which is Mayweather's best punch or one of his best punches. So it's kind of like which person is going to be able to employ their will on the other fighter, is how I look at it. And whoever does will be the one that probably gets his hand raised at the end of the fight.
Yeah, that's an excellent way to put it, because, I mean, honestly, my perspective, and it's not necessarily a matter of like skirting the fence and trying to play it close like that, but honestly, I can't call how I see this fight going. And from day one, you know, even years back when it was initially discussed, I've always felt like this was a pick'em fight. I've never felt there was anything other than 50-50. And it's so crazy because I sit and listen to angles from different fight fans. You know, I was talking earlier about the whole iron sharpen iron thing. I literally sharpen my perspective by talking to the fight fans and media like yourself, like some of the gentlemen, the ladies and gents on my page. But you know, that is how, but even after countless debates, years worth of debates, I still, it's like depending on whose angle I'm listening to, if I'm listening to a Pacquiao fight fan who has done his research, I walk away thinking Mayweather's in for a long night. If I'm looking at Pacquiao fight footage, I walk away thinking Mayweather's in for a long night. Then you turn it around. You sit and listen to a Mayweather fan who has done his research, and it's like, wow, how do you penetrate that? And the same thing when you're looking at his fight footage. But all that being said, I still come back to the point where regardless of how great both men are, the one truth about this whole thing is that both of these guys will be standing across from something unlike anything they've ever faced before. And that is, I think, the most interesting subplot to this whole fight, because Mayweather's done some brilliant things. You know, damn, they're two decades worth. Pacquiao has done some incredible things. But, I mean, when you look at it, these guys have never faced anything like each other. But let's take it back, though. I want to go back and get your thoughts, Ryan, to the very beginning when all of this stuff was going on. And I'm going to bring this up because, you know, unfortunately, it's what prevented us from seeing this fight a couple years ago. And everyone has their opinions on it. I'd like to get yours. And, of course, I'll share mine. But when this fight was originally suspended and just hanging out there in the balance, not happening as a result of the testing thing, what was your thoughts about, that whole scenario with the testing and why we couldn't see the fight? What did you think when all that stuff was going on back in 2010?
Yeah, when that first started, I mean, obviously, I didn't have any inside knowledge as to, like, what the real story is. I don't think many people have the real 100%, this is the fact. But it just seemed like, you know, why wouldn't Pacquiao do it, obviously? And then there's that whole talk about, you know, the Morales fight. He had the blood drawn, and he felt like it made him weaker, and that's why he lost. And, I mean, there's excuses for everything. And it seems like then it was a big fight. I don't think it was as much money involved then as there is now. And to me, honestly, I think in a lot of ways, back then and after that until this year, there wasn't so much pressure on each guy to make the fight. I look at it like where Pacquiao was doing good numbers against Cotto and against Margarito and the Marquez 3 and 4 were all, you know, million buys plus. Mayweather was doing great numbers. And then all of a sudden things kind of changed. And I don't even think it was so much Mayweather or Pacquiao. It was just the fact that it's easier for people to stream fights now. There was too many pay-per-views, boxing, UFC included. So you have all these fights going on, and now all of a sudden these guys aren't cracking a million, especially the Algeria fight did 300,000 or whatever it did. But it got to the point where I think both guys saw that fans probably were just like, you know what, I want to watch Mayweather, I want to watch Manny, but against each other, not against other people. And that's why I think we got to the point we're at now where they both decided, you know, they're getting up there in age. It's now or never. If it's a good fight, maybe there's a rematch or even more money too.
Yeah. It's funny you mention that. I was talking to a few fight fans. I believe it was on the Thursday show last week when we had Randall Bailey, and this same thing came up, and we were talking about the possibility of a rematch. Yes, I mean, I think that when you look at the money involved, anyone would be crazy to say they don't or wouldn't want any part of that two times in a row, particularly in 1 year. But at the same time, I think a rematch, the possibilities of a rematch really come down to what takes place. I do hope that we don't get a situation that everyone walks away questioning that leaves the sport in question, so to speak. But if it's a decisive victory for either guy, I really, you know, when we think top ranked track record, they love, you know, rematches. Mayweather has only done a couple, but I don't know that I see the odds of this happening a second time as strong as a lot of other people. I really don't.
Well, except there's one problem though that I look at it. Let's say Mayweather just blows him out. Let's say he wins 10 rounds to 2, 9 rounds to 3. Then what does Mayweather do if he still fights? He fights Amir Khan, but people are going to be like, ah, man, he already beat Manny so easy. Amir Khan, even though a lot of people think he's stylistically maybe a better challenge, but casual fans will be like, that guy can't win. If Pacquiao can't beat him, why do I want to watch this? And I think it's almost like, what can you do after this fight that's going to, you know, generate the interest? Same thing if Manny wins. He can't fight Jesse Vargas after this fight.
Yeah. I agree totally. I don't think it's anywhere for either one of them to go after this fight with a victory. Although I will say this, and I shouldn't even bring this up because to me is something I can't believe was even being discussed. But the Canelo fight, I'm hearing win, lose, or draw could be a possibility for either one of these guys in a follow-up match. Mayweather, I'm hearing people talk about the possibility of if he wins, them selling the public on, okay, he was a younger guy, untested, yada yada. Now he's ready. Mayweather's going out. Is Canelo ready enough to get him on his way? That kind of subplot. Then in the Pacquiao scenario, you also have, you know, the whole Golden Boy scenario, and I think they would promote the hell out of that fight. But I don't think it's a way that Canelo could milk himself down enough to be at a weight Pacquiao would be comfortable fighting at. Do you think in any wild scenario that fight happens?
it just seems so tough to me because we saw when he fought Margarito at, what, 150 pounds, and Pacquiao came in at 145. It's just too much. And then when Mayweather fought, Canelo was at 152, and then Canelo says he won't fight below 154 after that. And would Mayweather want to even do a fight at 154 when he said it lots of times, that's not even his weight class as well? It seems tough to me.
Yeah, I don't see that.
The bitter feelings between Golden Boy and Al Haymon probably wouldn't help that fight happen either.
You know what, let's touch on that a little bit. And of course, we'll get back to the Mayweather stuff, Mayweather-Pacquiao stuff directly. But when you talk about that relationship, you know, Al Haymon-Golden Boy, and this isn't even Haymon-Aram. We'll stick strictly to Haymon-Golden Boy. Based on what you know, what you hear, some in which we've probably heard as well, but just to get your thoughts on that whole thing and like how fixable is that relationship going forward?
You know, I don't know how. I mean, we've seen in boxing so many people hate each other, this type of feud, this type of battle, then they do business later if there's money to be made, just like Al Haymon and Bob Arum aren't best friends and never will be and don't like each other, but they made this fight happen. But it seems like I interviewed Oscar De La Hoya a couple months ago, right after Leo Santa Cruz had his contract bought out. And he said he was pushing for Santa Cruz to fight Regan Dow. And he mentioned some other fights. And he said, this is all his side, of course, that Heyman's team said no, 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 no. And then finally, I guess they had a clause in the contract. They could buy him out. He wouldn't say how much it was, but they bought him out. So then Heyman is just Santa Cruz is just a Heyman fighter. And he was frustrated, saying he couldn't make the fights he won. He wanted to make the Regan Dow fight or a quick fight or Frampton fight. So that's his take on it. And now they're saying they have a claim to Amir Khan now, and they're trying to make some fights with Khan, but Khan's saying that he's a free agent and his contract's up. So it's going to be another lawyer situation, it sounds like, to see who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah, you know, that political edge right there is something we see in this sport way too much for my liking. But, I mean, it seems like at every turn, that's exactly what happens. You know, when you look at the Santa Cruz thing, though, it brings in a different element that I also want to touch on. And it's a little sensitive, but, hey, honestly, I've always said I'd rather be hated for being honest than love for lying. If it's a perspective that I think makes sense, I'm always going to dig into it. So here we go. Looking at, you know, when we look at Santa Cruz, you know, we look at a Santa Cruz, we look at, Danny Garcia. You know, we look at a number of names in the sport that fall under the Haymon umbrella, and it looks like these guys are clearly being saved for a specific moment, but not necessarily innocent. Even Amir Khan, it looks like they're in situations where they are being saved from ruin for specific moments. And it makes you wonder, I'm playing devil's advocate here, when we think about some of the issue that we've had, which has prevented us from seeing the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight over the years. Obviously, you know, the drug testing issue was an issue and some other things too. But when we look at Haymon play that card, you know, or allow his fighters to play that card, I don't know who's doing it, but it's clear that then on that side, we're seeing that card where guys, you know, like I said, repetitively now, guys are kind of being put to the side, or they're being put on pause and saved from ruin so that they can take part in a certain moment. Do you think, and you may not be ready to answer this, I'm going to put you on the hot seat for a second. Do you think, though, that Haymon had anything to do, when, you know, you're listening to the fight fans out there, they certainly believe so. You think that the Mayweather-Haymon side had more to do with this fight not happening sooner than we probably thought at one point?
I think it was probably both sides. It's like what I said. I hate to play the fence like that, but I mean, if Pacquiao's doing his numbers and Haymon's doing his, I mean, and Mayweather's doing their numbers, what fight fans don't see is if you have $100 million pot and you're getting 80 to 85% of it, and then you have a $200 million pot and now you get 50% of it, you see, there's not as much of a difference. So you have a more riskier fight for not a much bigger reward. It's kind of how I look at it, because Mayweather especially isn't giving Shane Mosley, Miguel Cotto, Canelo, all these guys he fought 35-40% of the pot. He's given them a much smaller portion, and he can dictate that and control it, and you can't do that with Pacquiao. Same thing with Pacquiao when he fights Tim Bradley or fights some of these guys, except Marquez got a little bit more, but he was able to control that percentage of the pot. So the pot has to be so big to where you can take maybe two-thirds to half of what you normally get. Has to be more than what getting, you know, does that make sense? In like 80% of the pot, now you're getting 50. In this case, totally. It's 60. But before, it was more of a 50-50 split they were talking about. So it's like, if you're going to net $10 million more, it's a lot of money to you and me and to them too. But for the risk, maybe it's not worth it from a business perspective.
Yeah. There's that B word again. Yeah, we definitely hear that one a lot in the sport. And I wanted to, I mean, like I said, I wanted to touch on that briefly. I think it's a fair question. It's not to point the finger either way. I've said and I felt for a very long time that both sides played a role in us not getting this fight. As a matter of fact, I was probably a lot more vocal on that subject, which didn't always go well with some fans, but I am who I am, and it is what it is. It was my thoughts. And, I mean, fortunately, now we're actually getting a fight. But let's go back to Mayweather-Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. In the styles and just kind of analyzing and breaking that down. When we look at Manny Pacquiao's resume, and I'm going to ask for your opinion on this, when we look at his resume, we see the 8-time world champion, 8 different weight classes, all of this stuff. When you think about the catch weights and you think about, you know, some of the other stuff that was involved with those fights happening, how do you feel, what are your thoughts on Manny Pacquiao's legacy in the event that he comes out and actually loses this fight? How strong do you think his legacy holds up?
He's still a first ballot Hall of Famer. Well, they both will, win or lose. I've never thought either one of them was the best of all time, probably not even top 10 of all time, just because there's been so many great fighters. That, and you know, a lot of them were dead before we were ever even alive. But just looking back, the guys like Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard, or certain guys that their eras were so much more deeper than this era, that I just have to give them more credit. Not that it's Mayweather or Pacquiao's fault for when they were born, but you know, if you won the fight, you won the fight. And I think
Go ahead.
Go ahead. That's a good stopping point. Go ahead.
Okay, no, you just said something, and I'm probably about to take us into one of our vintage debates again, because I kind of see that whole era thing differently than a lot of people. You may or may not be one of them, but I'm just going to throw something out there. When we talk about the different eras, okay, we look at the first thing that most people come up, because this is one of the bigger eras in recent time that we were actually born and alive for at the time. You look at the Four Kings. You know, the Duran, all of those guys. Excuse me. Everyone talks about that era and those four fighters as if they were, you know, basically a group or a crop of fighters that were just the best. You know, no one can do anything to strip their you know, their accomplishments, which I agree. I mean, I grew up watching Hagler. Duran was probably one of, if not my all-time favorite Latino fighter. But here's my question, though. When you look at what they did in that era, everyone talks about how great they were, how stiff the competition was. I agree that they were great. They received, deserve every accolade they've ever gotten. But outside of one another, what makes everybody feel that that era or that four group of guys really has a better argument at greatness than Mayweather and Pacquiao in this era?
Well, first off,
like outside my go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I would say I would. It's the Four Horsemen, but Benitez I think is right in there as well. Not as a middleweight, but as a welterweight. He gave. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard said that's one of the toughest fights he ever had. Where I think he stopped him in the last round, if I remember, 14th or 15th round. But those guys, they just. That's that group of guys, and there was other good fighters out of that weight class, obviously, in that time. But just now, like, we have Pacquiao, we have Mayweather. We have good fighters, but a lot of them, like, I kind of look back to De La Hoya, Trinidad, Shane Mosley, Vargas, Ike Forte. That was a pretty good group of, you know, 47 to 54 pounders. Winky Wright you could throw in there. And that was really good as well, too. Just when they were fighting in their primes, Mayweather and Pacquiao weren't welterweights yet, let alone at 154. And I think that was a really good, probably underrated group of fighters as well. But the way I look at it is that four horsemen, we throw in Benitez. If you throw Pacquiao and Mayweather back in the mid-'80s, early 80s with that group, I don't think either one of them could fight all those guys and come out undefeated. I think they might win the majority of the fights, but I think they would lose at least once.
That's a fair argument. I can't say it's wrong, but I guess I kind of take offense regularly when I hear people say that generation or ones prior to was just that much better. Let me tell you something. In the NFL, rules have changed. You know, what you could do back in the days, you can't do at this point. In the NBA, you know, they ran zones and all this stuff at one point. They couldn't at other point. It's always changing of the elements. But when you're talking boxing, a fast hook is a fast hook. A good chin is a good chin. From the beginning of time to now, I don't think that element ever changes. The glove sizes or the ring, the rounds that they box may have changed, but the element of the game itself remains the same. And that's why I have a hard time really saying that any generation is that much greater than, you know, another one. Like I said, I can't stress it enough, ain't many people love the Sugar Ray Leonards and Durans, the Haglers, Earn. Not many people love those guys more than I did. And I was, I was actually around to watch them throughout their era. But I really, really believe when you look at this era, you look at a Roy Jones, you look at a Bernard Hopkins, you look at a Mike Tyson, you look at a Shane Mosley, you look at a Manny Pacquiao. I'll tell you another guy that would have been interesting to see at 147 pounds in that era. You know, some people are going to laugh when I say this because he wasn't someone that had a storied career. As a matter of fact, the story in his career was actually criminal, but I think his toughness alone would have made him an interesting lot in that era. And that is somebody like an Antonio Margarito. You know, you take a work rate like that, a chin like that, that's going to make a good fight. I don't care if it's 1920, 2020, it's going to make a good fight with somebody who can do the same thing across from them. So I don't agree, you know, when I hear people say that. I don't know. Maybe I'm stronger on that point than I need to be, but I don't see it same. But let's go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Part of it, too, is when you fight the guys. Like the Margarito, Pacquiao fought Margarito, right? But he'd already had problems as far as with Paul Williams beating him, although he came back in the second half of that fight. And then, with the Mosley scandal, whatever you want to call it. And then he moves up in weight. And it's like that version wasn't the best version of Margarito that we saw. And then Mayweather didn't fight him. And then Cotto, Manny fought him, with one loss? But he was a beating by Margarito. So that wasn't the prime Cotto. And then he beats him, and then Mayweather fights him. That obviously wasn't the prime Cotto either. So, but in order to compare that to that other era you're talking about, we need to see when those guys fought each other. Like, we know that Sugar Ray Leonard and Duran were at the top of their game when they fought the first time. So sometimes it's when you fight. Like, Paul Williams was a great fighter. Pacquiao or Mayweather didn't fight him. So it's like he kind of got skipped. Mosley was already, you know, old when both the guys fought him. So I kind of think it depends on where you fought him as well, too.
Yeah, that definitely plays a role, and that's an excellent point to bring up, and it was well articulated. I think it holds a lot of merit. But, you know, I don't know. It just earlier today in one of the same fight threads I was referring to earlier, I was looking at fight fans talk about the heavyweights and how Lennox Lewis would have done against a Muhammad Ali. Lennox Lewis, to me, was I think you could argue, the best heavyweight champion of the last 20-plus years. Some people will say Vitaly. Some people say Vladimir. I think on accomplishment and recognition of resume alone, you got to go Lennox Lewis. But I think Muhammad Ali, even being a smaller guy, mops the floor with Lennox on points, if nothing else, over the course of 12 to 15 rounds. And I don't think that's a far-fetched thought. Like, what do you think about that kind of thing? Do you really think it's that decisive that because Lennox is so much bigger that it would have been an easy night with him with Ali? I can't wrap my mind around that. What do you think about that kind of thing?
I don't think Muhammad Ali, especially a prime one, is easy night for anybody. It would be an interesting fight, though, just because of not just generations, but the size of the heavyweight that you're mentioning and how they've grown. Vladimir Klitschko, the way he fights now, he would have been a tough fight for anybody just because he's one of the few coordinated guys over 6'5" that, you know, the way that Manny Stewart taught him how to hold and to grab, and it's hard to get punches off on him. I would have loved to have seen him against all 5'11" of Mike Tyson, which would have been a crazy clash of size and styles. But I think that you mentioned Lennox Lewis. I think him and Larry Holmes are the type of fighters where they were more appreciated after they retired than from when they were actually fighting.
You're right, because Lennox Lewis, I didn't, and I'll say this publicly, it's not anything negative, not anything bad. It's honest. I wasn't a big fan of his. I really wasn't. I thought he was boring. I thought he held a lot. I thought his stamina was far less than it should have been. But he got results. And for that, I definitely respected him and thought, you know, you just admire his greatness for what it is. But on a fan level, I just was not a big fan of his style. But let's go ahead and jump back to it. I just realized what time it is, so we're winding it down. But let's look – let's go back and look at the whole Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. Obviously, as we're, 3 weeks out now, 4 weeks out, something like that. When, and we touched on this a little bit, but I want to go a little further. As far as the styles, when we look at Mayweather and we look at the diversity of his resume, this is one thing I don't think he really gets enough credit for. You know, we've seen Pacquiao face big guys that could hit. We've seen him face not so big guys that couldn't hit. Like, we've seen a little bit of diversity. Mayweather's resume, I think, offers a lot more diversity. You have your fast southpaws, not Pacquiao fast, but you had Jazab Judas, that type of thing, et cetera. Do you think what Mayweather has accomplished to this point, from a comfort standpoint, how comfortable do you think he will be trying to dissect a style like Manny Pacquiao's when the bell actually rings and they're in there making this happen?
Well, what Robert Garcia just told me when I interviewed him Saturday at the BKB event, he said, and he's been in the corner twice against Pacquiao with Margarito and Rios, he said you can't spar or prepare for Pacquiao because no one's like him. He said no one's exactly Mayweather, but there's guys that can emulate his style, but he said Pacquiao, you can't really do it. So with that being said from a well-regarded trainer, I agree with what he's saying. I think it's going to take Mayweather a little while to adapt to it, but he seems to always really close fight strong. First Maidana fight, where he had a lot of problems in the beginning, he pretty much took over in the round 7 and on. I think it's going to take him a few rounds, but the key to this fight, we don't know yet, and I think who are the judges and who's the referee, and what are they going to favor? If these are guys that favor volume, and Manny can throw 80 punches to 100 punches a round, can Mayweather land enough clean shots to get the nod on the cards? You know, that's, to me, it's going to be.
You know, let me ask you something. I want to stop you right there before I forget this point. You mentioned about Pacquiao's volume, and that's actually something that a lot of people. That was actually my reason initially for saying that I think it's going to be a tough out for Floyd. But I was doing a little bit of research, and when you break down the numbers with Manny Pacquiao, and you look at his average. He actually is not throwing nearly as many punches as a lot of people are giving him credit for. I guess I can't be quoted on this. I don't remember specifically, but excuse me, over, I want to say the last 4 or 5 fights, he was only averaging, I want to say 59, maybe 60 punches or so per round. I don't think that's Maidana all over again. If that's it, do you think that 50 to 60 punches per round will be that troubling for a guy who rarely lets a combination land on him once in a fight, let alone multiple times?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is I think Pacquiao's peak is a welterweight anyways. It was a Claudio fight. I think he threw something like 1,200 fight punches to around 100 a round. And ever since the Margarito fight, he's slowed down definitely in the amount of punches he throws. I don't know what is the specific game plan Freddie Roach has in mind, but I would have to think it's for him to up the output. I don't think 50 to 60 is going to be enough for him to win unless he just happens to, you know, catch him and knock him out. I think he needs to be more in that 70 to 80 punches around thrown, just because the more you throw, the less the other guy can throw.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting dynamics for Pacquiao to address in this fight, too, Chris Algieri, you know, he had length. He wasn't slow, but he wasn't fast. Timothy Bradley's not fast, per se. These are guys who have speed, but they're not fast precision punchers. Mayweather is a guy who can get it off, I mean, a laser on a frozen rope, you know, just total precision with great speed. And I'm wondering how that's going to play out, because Pacquiao's, I think, is really, how can I say this? I think his best shot is really what we've seen him do when he pounces and ambushes, but he has to jump in to do that because he's at a disadvantage with his reach. I mean, outside of that, it's not like we can expect him to really establish a true jab on somebody like Mayweather. Again, the reach is an issue. If Pacquiao is having a hard time getting in with Mayweather picking him off coming in, landing a right lead, slipping it, or landing a hook, uppercut, check hook, whatever, slipping it. If Pacquiao's running into that, what do you think a feasible plan B can be for them? Like, what do you think they go to next if he's getting picked off coming in every time?
Yeah, especially that counter right, if that's landing all night, it's going to be tough for Pacquiao to win, because Floyd usually doesn't follow up on it, but it's such an accurate, clean punch when it lands. You know, it stays in the judge's eyes. So he has to outwork him. He has to push him. He has to do what Maidana did, not the same style, but the volume that Maidana had for, what, 5-6 rounds, and then he kind of gassed out. He doesn't have the same stamina. But what Maidana has that Pacquiao doesn't is probably 15 pounds on Mayweather, a little bit taller, just more physical fighter. And Manny can't push him to the ropes the way Maidana did. So I don't know if that strategy won't work for Pacquiao. To me, it's that movement side to side, in and out. He's going to have to take risks. He'll have to eat a few punches to get in to land some of his own. And he has to make Mayweather uncomfortable. He's got to hit him with a couple shots to wake Mayweather up. And Mayweather, the one thing he's kind of underrated is his chin. He got hit by a couple of big shots from Maidana. We know the Mosley one, Zab, but he's always stayed on his feet. So that's what we need to see, is if Pacquiao can land something big and then the way that Floyd reacts to it.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting tale, because I'll tell you what, one thing that I'm hearing is that Floyd, similar to what we saw against Cotto, similar to what we saw against Canelo, is that there's not going to be a whole lot of shiftiness. He's going to actually stay in the pocket. And if he does that, I think really we're going to get absolute truth with this fight very early, because I tell you what, if he stands in a pocket, it's only so many ways that can go. He's either going to get hit with something he's never felt before, an abandoned game plan, which it's kind of hard to even see that, but I'm just going over possible options. That's one scenario. He will either stay in as long as he can and shift later, or he can be successful in that. But I think if he is successful standing in the pocket with Pacquiao, beating Pacquiao to the punch where Pacquiao no longer is comfortable coming in and starts thinking too much, like we saw him do with Marquez a few times, if Floyd can get Pacquiao there, honestly, we might see Pacquiao stop or something very – like I can't see where else they go. And if Floyd is confident enough to know that this guy, you know, great puncher, all of this stuff we've heard over the years, if I can stand in front of this guy and continuously beat him to the punch and make him gun shy, what's going to happen next? He's going to put him on his back foot. So I think from there, really, aside from desperation and landing something wicked, it's kind of game over if he's able to do that. But I'm having a hard time envisioning him being able to do that. Do you think there's any possibility that Mayweather could actually stand in front of Pacquiao and find reasonable success?
I think it's possible in spurts. I don't think he's going to spend too much time doing that. But from what I have heard from some of the guys that train at the Mayweather gym that I've talked to, is Mayweather is taking his training camp a lot different than previous ones. He's not, you know, grabbing his McDonald's or Fat Burger at night. He's eating healthier. He's brought in strength and conditioning trainers. I think he understands what this fight means to his legacy and what a win means. So he's taking it more serious, and it seems like he really would like to make a statement in the fight. But I just know from past Mayweather fights, if we're in the seventh round and he feels he's up 5-2 or something like that, he may play a little bit safe, making sure he gets the win, because we've seen, you know, his own fighters, like Mickey Bay, shut out John Molina and gets caught in the last round and loses the fight. We've seen that happen in lots of fights. Randall Bailey and Mike Jones comes to mind, where you have this big lead, but you can't get, you know, that's just being smart. You can't get caught like that. So I don't. And then the other thing is Mayweather's hands. He hurts his hands a lot in these fights. If he hurts it, as he said that one against Guerrero and a couple other guys, Canelo, he thought he might go for the knockout, but then his hand was hurt, so he had to play it safe. And you can't predict if that's going to happen or not.
You know, oh boy, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, thinking about it, it's really just fascinating, man. It's so many different things that come to my mind breaking this fight down. I can never really even get them all out. It's just a lot of different thoughts. But let me ask you this. I had a fight fan pose this question to me, and I've asked everyone that I've bought in as a special guest this question because I thought it was a really compelling question. He asked me, what would be a better career-defining victory for Mayweather's legacy? Here are the two options. A fight where, similar to what he did to everyone else, where he just whitewashes Pacquiao and blunts the best offensive fighter we've probably seen in this era, which no one has been able to come close. You know, if Pacquiao finishes the fight on his feet, he has a winning chance. Well, the two options are basically a Mayweather whitewash that was not competitive, or a fight where he actually gets buzzed, touches the deck, and has to get into a firefight to actually win and pulls it out. Which one of those two options do you think does more for the Mayweather legacy in victory on May 2nd?
You know, I think you'd have to go with number two, as long as there's no controversy. Because if you go with option number one, if he shuts him out, wins 10 out of 12 rounds, it's kind of a boring decision like we've seen before. People are going to say there's going to be critics. Pacquiao was past it. He should have fought him 5 years ago, 4 years ago. There's going to be something. There's going to be some reason why that this win isn't as good as probably he should get credit for. Whereas if he faces some adversity, gets off the canvas or gets, maybe doesn't go down, but gets beat up a little bit and comes back and has to dig deep, we've never really seen Floyd have to do that. A little bit in the first Maidana fight, but not to the extent you're talking about. Whereas if someone saw that he showed a lot of heart where he had to battle back to get the win, I think that that would resonate a lot more with fight fans and do a lot more for his legacy, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know what? I asked you that. It's funny because to me that's the sensible answer, but you and I are about the only ones I've asked that actually feel that way. A lot of people feel that Pacquiao's offense is just that potent to where if he can somehow just shut him out, totally, you know, just blunt his full attack like no one else has been able to, a lot of people feel that that would actually do more for Mayweather's legacy. I don't think so, though. I think right now a lot of people question, which I don't know why, because he's shown his mettle. The way he came back in that Mosley fight to me, and I was there in media row, it was just sick to see a guy dominate like that. You know, after getting buzzed the way that he did, he damn near won that round. Like, that was just an incredible performance. But people still feel like he does not have dog in him. So I think personally that number two scenario for me would be the one. But I tell you what, before we get ready to wrap it up, I want to give you a minute to let everybody know where you are. Let them know your Twitter handle, all of that stuff. For those out there who want to check him out, go ahead, drop that info on them, Ryan.
All right, I write for boxingscene.com, and my Twitter handle is ringsidewriter. I'm on Facebook, too, Ryan Burton, although I don't check Facebook as much as I do. But yeah, if you guys ever want to chat or whatever, that's where you can find me.
Funny you say that. I'm the exact opposite. To Twitter and Instagram, I stalk people. I just want to know what people are saying. what they're doing, what they're eating, like whatever. I'm a talker. So if I do any social media, generally it's somewhere where I can get into a good debate and blow 3 or 4 hours like Facebook. But yeah, that's definitely where they'll find me. But real quick, Ryan, before I let you run out of here, if you had to put some money on it, what would your final prediction be for this fight?
You know, I've been going back and forth on this. I don't have my 100% prediction, but right now I would lean towards Mayweather by split decision. We've seen Canelo get a draw on one card. We've seen the Maidana fight. I just think it's a type of fight where it depends on the judging. So I think Mayweather will get the nod on 2 out of 3 at this point, but I'm leaving myself open to change my pick once I find out who the judges are and the refs.
Okay. Hey, well, you're a better man than I am, because be honest with you, I still don't have a pick. I haven't been able to get beyond 50-50. Some days it's Mayweather. Some days I can't see how Mayweather wins. It's just, this is that fight to me. And even though I asked you and you produced an answer, I'm going to chicken out at this point because I literally don't have one. But yeah, man, I definitely want to thank you for jumping in here on the Lessig Lounge Radio to help break down the fight. I know you run around Vegas a lot, and I wanted to get your insight on this stuff. So I do, though, before you go, I want to say thank you again, and, of course, give you the last word. If it's anything else you wanted to say, any projects you have going on, you want to plug anybody in, now's the time to do it.
Well, actually, June, I don't have the official date, but Knockout Season 2 is supposed to start airing. You can ask my man John Scully about that. He's one of the three trainers, PR work, and some of the guest celebrity appearances on the show. But you can check that out. It'll be coming out, I think it's the first week of June. We'll have the fight card in the middle of July on Nuvo TV.
Okay, that's good stuff. Yeah, well, we'll definitely be looking out for it, man. I'm going to probably hang out in queue for another 5 minutes or so. I see a few people out there. You know what, actually, I guess I will shut it down. It's going to take a few calls, but I'm going to let you book, and I think I'm going to do it too. A lot of you guys out there might actually be watching this college championship game, which is what I'm about to get into. But we will be back here tomorrow to do it all over again. Tomorrow, my man from Yahoo Sports, Kevin Ioli, will be in the building with us. So we'll get that done. Ryan, I'm going to let you run. At this point, I'll go ahead and chew up the last 2-3 minutes. But thank you again, my man. And I'm not going to travel for this fight, but we'll definitely be talking between now and May 3rd, I'm sure.
All right, sounds good. Take care, and thanks for having me on.
Hey, not a problem, bro. Great to have you. Take care now.
All right, later.
Later. All right, that's my man Ryan Burton, ladies and gents, from BoxingScene.com. Yeah, funny story with us crossing paths, if you will. Yeah, I laugh every time I think about it, because that's one thing, man. Some of you may know, some may not, but I can jaw with the best of them. If you want to debate and you got some time to blow, I'm there, you know, and we're going to go topic for topic till somebody is either ready to walk away or concedes the point. But it's all about seeking truth, and I think that's what life is, even away from boxing. We have to be able to identify truth, and I like to get to truth. So, you know, there's no better way to find out than testing your mettle against someone who feels they own the truth. And that's what we do in the boxing world. But nevertheless, we're down to the last 60 seconds or so. So before I fall off, I definitely want to thank you, ladies and gents out there, for checking us out again. Tomorrow night, Yahoo Sports, Kevin Ioli will be in the building with us. Wednesday, my man Iceman John Scully will be in the building with us. Thursday, Chop Chop Corley, DeMarcus Corley, one of the first southpaws to really give Mayweather some questions, some issues, I'll say. He will be in the building with us. And to tie it all in, come Friday, HBO's very own Kiernan Mulvaney, Scott, I'm getting tongue-tied, ladies and gents. That must mean it's about that time. So on that note again, thank you guys for checking us out here on Lessig Lounge Radio. We are about to fall off. See you tomorrow. Peace. God bless. One love. Father of two, friend of all, love of one, second of none. Have a good night, ladies and gents. Thank you.